Good morning, church.
Good morning.
On behalf of our church family here in Newport-on-Tay, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning. A very special welcome to those who are doing so for the first time, or those who are doing so after a long while. We always would like to recognize our church members and others who are worshiping with us via Zoom. They too are welcome, and those who listen to our church service afterwards from our church's website. The intimations are as printed out on the order of service that you may be having in your hands. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The words are printed on the order of service. Let us pray. Faithful and sovereign God, we come before you in this season of waiting and expectation, You are the one who opens doors no one can shut, and who closes doors no one can force open. All authority rests with you, and all our days are held in your care. As we draw near to you in this service, we confess that we often trust in our own strength, our own plans, and our own security. Yet you remind us that true hope is not built on what we control, but on your steadfast faithfulness. In this Advent season, turn our hearts again to you, strip away our pride and self-reliance, and teach us to wait with humility and trust. Meet us here, Lord, not because we deserve it, but because you are gracious. Speak to us, renew us, and prepare us to receive the one who comes with justice, mercy, and peace. We offer you our worship now, in expectation and hope. Merciful God, you call us to trust in you alone, yet we confess how easily we place our confidence elsewhere. We confess that we often build our lives on status, security, and recognition, forgetting that all we have is gift, not possession. Like those you spoke to through your prophet, we have trusted in strong walls and careful planning, but failed to seek you. We have been more concerned with our own place and comfort than with faithfulness and service. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways we cling to power rather than humility, to control rather than obedience, to fear rather than hope. In this season of Advent, reshape our hearts, loosen our grip on what does not last, and teach us to trust in your purposes. Have mercy on us, restore us by your grace, and set us again on the path of faithful waiting as we look for the coming of Christ, our true hope and salvation, and the one who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is 302. It was on a starry night when the hills were bright. We don't have our children in church this morning. Is there anyone who would like to light a third Advent candle? Just come forward, please. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you.
The first reading this morning is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This can be found on page 961 of the Pew Bible. The Day of Judgment. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Second reading is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. This can be found on page 1235 in the Pew Bible. To the church in Philadelphia, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogues of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but they are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. And may the Lord bless to us these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn is number 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
Let us pray. Lord, as we reflect from your word this morning, open our hearts to hear you clearly. Give us steady hearts, clear minds, and hearts that can hear your voice in the noise of our world. Speak to us as you spoke to the church in Philadelphia, words that strengthen the weak, encourage the faithful, and call us to trust you. Let your truth take root in us and guide our steps. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like to reflect with you this morning on the theme, the God who opens doors. The God who opens doors. But let me begin with a short anecdote about a door that would not open. A friend once told me about a door in his office building that simply refused to open. No matter how much he pushed, pulled, kicked, tapped, or prayed, the door stayed shut. He asked the receptionist what the secret was. She laughed and said, "Oh, that door doesn't open from your side. Only the boss has the key." He muttered, "I have been fighting the wrong door." We have all been there, trying to open doors that are not ours, trying to close doors that were never under our control, trying to manage access, influence, outcomes, and opportunities as if we ourselves were the chief key holder of the universe. The Revelation 3 teaches us a simple truth. We are not the ones holding the keys. Christ is. And that is good news. And brings us to our passage. Jesus Christ dictates this letter to the church in first century Philadelphia, a small Christian community in Asia Minor. This was not the powerful church, not the wealthy church, not the politically connected church. They had little power, little influence, and faced pressure both spiritually and socially. Historians tell us that Philadelphia sat on a fault line. Earthquakes were common. People lived with uncertainty. They knew what it meant for life to shake beneath their feet. It is into this fragile community that Jesus speaks some of his most beautiful and affirming words. Unlike five of the seven churches, Philadelphia receives no rebuke, no warning, no correction, only encouragement. Why? Because they held on to Jesus when everything around them shook. Their strength was not in what they possessed, but in who they trusted. That truth comes into sharp focus in the way Jesus now introduces himself. These are the words of the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. The image comes from Isaiah 22, verse 22. A key placed on a steward's shoulder symbolized authority over access to the king's house. So Jesus is saying, I alone determine who belongs to God's household. I alone open the door. I alone secure your future. This is important because the believers in Philadelphia were being pushed out of synagogues. Their access to community, tradition, and identity was being shut. They were told they did not belong. But Jesus says, you belong to me, and my door is open. This is resilience built not on strength, but on promise. Even as others shut them out and questioned their belonging, Jesus makes one thing unmistakably clear. He sees them. He knows what they have endured, how they have remained faithful, and the cost of staying loyal. That assurance leads directly to his words of encouragement, "I know your deeds." It is an encouragement for the faithful. And Jesus gives three affirmations. "I know your deeds. Nothing faithful goes unnoticed. You have little power, yet you kept my word." Weakness is not failure. Weakness is often the place where faith becomes visible. "You have not denied my name." Loyalty in pressure counts deeply with God. They were small, but they were faithful. And faithfulness is the currency of the kingdom. To such believers, Jesus promises vindication, protection, and honor. He will make their persecutors recognize that God loves them. He will keep them through the coming trial. He will crown them as pillars in the house of God. This is resilience rewarded. Now let me share with you a story. Mara worked the early shift at a small town bakery. Most people never noticed her. She was the one who unlocked the doors before dawn, mixed the dough in the quiet, and wiped down the counters when the rush was over. Her name tag was worn. Her apron was always clean. She did her work without much fanfare. What most people did not know was that this bakery was her refuge. A year earlier, she had walked away from a group of friends who mocked her faith once it stopped being convenient for them. They had not understood her decision. Some had laughed at her. One had told her she would grow out of it. Their words still stung. She felt small when she remembered them. One Thursday morning, after a long night of barely sleeping, she slipped into the bakery before anyone else arrived. The lights were dim, and the ovens hummed like a quiet heartbeat. She rested her elbows on the counter and whispered a prayer she had prayed many times. "I am trying. I feel like I don't have much left, but I am trying." Later that afternoon, the owner of the bakery pulled her aside. He wasn't a man of many words, but today he looked thoughtful. "I've been watching you," he said. "You show up early. You take care of people, and you never complain. I just wanted you to know it matters, even if no one else says it." The words surprised her. She nodded, unsure how to respond, but something eased inside her like a knot loosening. As Mara walked home that day, she did not feel any stronger than before. She still felt small, but now she carried the quiet assurance that she had been seen. Someone had noticed what she thought no one cared about. Someone had paid attention to the choices she made when no one else was watching. And that's where her story brushes up against the story of the believers in Philadelphia. They were small too. They had little power. They did not make headlines. They did not impress the world. But Jesus said to them what Mara longed to hear. "I know your deeds. I see the way you have held my word. I see the loyalty you have shown when pressure pressed in, and it matters." My dear friends, many Christians today recognize themselves in the believers of ancient Philadelphia, people of little power, navigating a world that feels increasingly loud, divided, and unstable. Europe grows more secular by the year. Africa wrestles with corruption and fragile institutions, and Great Britain itself bears the weight of political tension, cultural division, and an economy that tests even the strongest hearts. Immigrant communities feel the strain of balancing identities belonging everywhere and nowhere at once. Churches seem smaller, quieter, and older. Into this landscape of quiet exhaustion, Jesus speaks a word that cuts through the noise. I know your deeds. I see your faithfulness. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. The philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once wrote that purity of heart is to will one thing, and the Christians of Philadelphia lived exactly that way. Their greatness was not loudness, but loyalty. And Revelation insists that in a world obsessed with influence, endurance matters more than applause. The pressures we face in modern Britain are subtle rather than violent, but they are pressures all the same. Faith is often treated as a harmless curiosity, something nostalgic, nice to have around at Christmas, but not something serious or necessary for real life. That kind of atmosphere does not strike with force. It wears you down quietly. The political thinker Hannah Arendt once warned that in times of social fragmentation, truth doesn't disappear in a single dramatic moment. Instead, it erodes slowly, almost unnoticed, as people stop caring whether something is true at all. Her point was not just political, it speaks to the spiritual climate we live in. When truth becomes optional, faithfulness feels odd. When conviction is treated as rigidity, loyalty to Christ can seem out of step with the moment. And when certainty itself is viewed with suspicion, holding to Jesus' word can feel like swimming against a wide, indifferent tide. It is no wonder, then, that the French philosopher and theologian Jacques Ellul once observed that the only real certainty modern people share is the certainty that they have no certainty at all. In a world like that, faithfulness is not fashionable, but it is deeply faithful. When confidence in truth disappears, inability becomes normal. What follows is not freedom, but a quiet erosion of meaning and trust. Dear friends, we are living in that erosion. Many in our society reinvent themselves weekly as if shifting identities could cure spiritual loneliness. Jobs disappear. Rules tighten, relationships break under strain, doors close without warning. Yet Jesus tells his church in every age that he holds the keys others cannot touch. Mental health studies remind us that resilience is not the absence of pressure, but the ability to adapt with hope when life becomes unpredictable. Revelation is teaching the same truth in spiritual language. Resilience is the ability to remain faithful when the world goes silent. Across continents, the challenges may differ in shape but not in substance. Africa and Europe share one unfortunate truth. Both have experienced leaders who build walls rather than open doors, who manipulate access, identity, and belonging. Revelation confronts this directly. Christ alone offers access that no earthly power can revoke. Christ alone names us, calls us, and keeps us. He honors the kind of character that rarely makes headlines. The person who refuses bitterness, the believer who will not repay insult with injury, the quiet disciple who keeps the word of Christ while others chase trends and applause. This brings us to the heart of Advent, a season of open doors and quiet waiting. Advent reminds us that Christ has already stepped into the world and will come again, not in weakness this time, but in glory. To a weary world, he says, I am coming soon, hold fast. To those who feel small, he says, your strength is not your salvation, I am. To the unseen and overlooked, I know your deeds. To the discouraged, I hold the key. to the anxious. I open a door no one can shut. Long before we sang it in English churches or heard it in candlelight sanctuary, believers were whispering these same hopes. In the final days before Christmas, monks gathered each night and chanted short prayers that named their longing. O wisdom, O root of Jesse, O king of David, O Emmanuel. Their voices carried the same plea we still feel. Come. Over the centuries, those prayers grew into the hymn we know as O come, Emmanuel. Its melody is simple and patient. It doesn't rush toward Christmas. It waits. It holds the ache and the promise together. And every time we sing, Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come, we join that long line of people who trusted that God would keep his word even when the world felt dim. This is the same trust that the church in Philadelphia was called to hold, a small church with little strength, yet a church that kept going. A church that heard Christ say, I have placed before you an open door, hold fast. So as we continue this Advent season, let us take that promise with us. The child who once found no room now holds the key to the kingdom. The one who is coming again is the one who keeps you now. Hold fast, be faithful, don't be afraid. Your crown is secure and your future rests in hands stronger than the world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you who hold the key of David, you know our deeds, our weakness, and our desire to stay true to you. Make us faithful in our own place and time, just as you strengthened the believers in Philadelphia. Keep us from fear, guard us from drift, steady our witness in a nation where faith is often ignored or misunderstood. Give us courage to hold fast, compassion to love well, and hope that does not fade. Set before us the open doors you choose, and make us willing to walk through them. Amen. We sing again our next hymn, O come, Emmanuel, 273 hymn number. Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Lord Jesus Christ, you who are holy and true, you who hold the key of David, we place ourselves before you now. We offer you our lives as they are, not as we wish them to be. We dedicate our strength and our weakness, our faithfulness and our fear, our hopes for open doors, and our grief over doors that have closed. We give you our work and our rest, our public witness and our quiet obedience, the things we do that are seen and the faithfulness that goes unnoticed. Where we have tried to force doors that were not ours to open, teach us patience. Where we have clung too tightly to control, teach us trust. Where we have felt small, overlooked, or unsure of our place, remind us again that we belong to you. Take this congregation in New Potonte with its history, its people, its questions, and its future. Make us a faithful presence in this place, not loud but steady, not powerful but rooted, not anxious for success but committed to obedience. Set before us the doors you choose, and give us courage to walk through them in your name, for you alone are our security, and you alone are our hope. We dedicate ourselves to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us continue to pray. Let us intercede. It's a responsory prayer. Lord, hear our prayer, and let our cry come unto you. We pray for the church and for the world, trusting the one who opens doors no one can shut. Gracious God, we pray for your church across the world, especially where Christians live with little power, little protection, and great pressure. Strengthen those who hold fast to your word when faith is mocked, ignored, or pushed to the margins. Keep your church faithful rather than fashionable, rooted rather than restless. We pray for the Church of Scotland and for this congregation in Newport-on-Tay, where there is weariness, bring renewal. Where there is uncertainty about the future, bring trust. Where numbers feel small and resources feel stretched, remind us that faithfulness, not size, is the currency of your kingdom. Lord, hear our prayer, and let our cry come to you. We pray for the nations of the world, for leaders and governments, especially where power is used to close doors rather than open them, to exclude rather than protect, to manipulate belonging instead of serving the common good. Grant wisdom, humility, and a hunger for justice. Protect those who suffer under corruption, violence, and oppression. Lord, hear our prayer, and let our cry come to you. We pray for all who live with uncertainty in this century, those facing war and displacement, those navigating migration systems, visas, and borders, those waiting on decisions that shape their future but feel far beyond their control. Be near to the anxious, the overlooked, and the unseen. Open doors of dignity, safety, and hope. Lord, hear our prayer, and let our cry come to you. We pray for those struggling with health, physical illness, mental exhaustion, chronic pain, and the quiet suffering that does not always have a name. For those waiting for diagnosis, treatment, or healing, be their steady presence. For carers and health workers, give strength and compassion. Lord, hear our prayer, and let our cry come to you. We pray for families and relationships under strain, for marriages carrying tension, for homes marked by misunderstanding or silence, for parents worried about children and children burdened by expectations. Where trust has been damaged, bring healing. Where control has replaced love, bring freedom. We pray for those burdened by economic pressure, those worried about work, rising costs, insecure employment, and the quiet fear of not having enough. For those carrying responsibility, not only for themselves, but for others who depend on them, grant provision, relief, and courage. Lord, hear our prayer, and let our cry come to you. And finally, we pray for ourselves. When the world feels unstable, help us to hold fast. When faith feels small, remind us that you see our deeds. When doors close, teach us patience. When doors open, give us humility and courage. As we wait in this season of Advent, keep us watching, trusting, and ready. For you are coming soon, and our future rests in your hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who holds the keys, the one who knows us, the one who is coming. Amen. Our final hymn is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. It is hymn number 561. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.